we're drawing kind of towards the conclusion of this Sermon on the Mount. We're going to read verses 7 to 12 just now. In fact, I'm going to kick off with verse 12. And the rest of the chapter, or the rest of this message after that, from verse 13 to 29, is like the verdict of the message. It's make a choice. Yeah? He talks about two ways, two kinds of fruits, two kinds of people, one who thought they knew him but didn't, and two houses. What kind of house are you building? So Jesus, like a good preacher, comes to a conclusion where he comes with a strong verdict and says, make a choice for the kingdom. Make sure you're in the kingdom, and make sure you're living full out on the kingdom, and make sure your life is stormproof. Okay, so that's the next few weeks coming. But the conclusion of the body of this sermon happens in verse 12. And the beginning of the body of this sermon, to a large extent, has happened in Matthew 5, verse 17. And there's a link. And we'll come to that shortly. In 2009, the Children's Society released an independent report entitled The Good Childhood Inquiry. And BBC News summed up the report by saying this: the aggressive pursuit of personal success by adults is now the greatest threat to British children. According to the panel, excessive individualism is to blame for many of the problems children face and needs to be replaced by a value system where people seek satisfaction more from helping others rather than pursuing private advantage. Frankie, a 14-year-old from Manchester, gave evidence to that inquiry, and he said, I think all kids have the right to live in a happy place where they feel safe and loved. I haven't felt like that in some time, but I know my parents don't mean it. It's just they argue and take it out on me. And friends, of course, this particular issue is not just in Britain, is it? It's global, where we have this problem or challenges in relationships. And as we move into Matthew chapter 7, there's a real focus on relationships. How do we work out this kingdom life together? Gareth talked about last week out of Matthew 7, 1 to 6, not being judgmental, not having a critical spirit, but learning how to receive criticism well, but learning how to believe the best in others and encourage and be discerning as well. And so this chapter is about relationships. But verse 12 is like the summing up or the summary of all the ethical teaching that has gone before in this sermon. And this is what Jesus says. He says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And it's not just summing up this sermon. What he's saying, it's a summing up of the Ten Commandments. It's a summing up of the law of Moses, and it's a summing up of all the ethical teaching of the Bible. So early in the sermon, Jesus has said in Matthew 5:17, I did not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. In other words, everything that has been spoken in the Old Testament, Jesus has come to fulfill it. He's the fulfillment of everything that was prophesied. Everything that was prophesied about the kingdom that is to come, the messianic kingdom, the king that's coming, Jesus is the fulfillment of that. And in his first coming, he inaugurates it. And in his second coming, which will definitely come in the future, he will consummate it. And so when you put Matthew 5:17 and Matthew 7:12 together, what Jesus is saying to us in the way that we should behave towards men and others, he's saying, this is the way I behave. This is part of what it means to live in the kingdom and how you fulfill what's been written in Scripture. do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. It's said that the Emperor Alexander had Alexander Sevens had it written in gold on the walls of the public buildings, had this written in the walls of public buildings, and of course it's become known as the Golden Rule. It was written in gold on the walls of public buildings. And it's an amazing thing. At the time, people were familiar with the negative form. You know, don't do to others what you wouldn't want them to do to you, you know. You don't want people to bash you on the nose, don't bash them on the nose. You don't want people to lie to you, don't lie to them. You don't want people to, rob you, don't rob them. People were familiar with that kind of negative approach, you know, the negative side of this. And one of the rabbis of the time, who we've mentioned previously, Rabbi Hillel, taught this: what is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow creatures. And he said, this is the whole law, and the rest is commentary. Go and learn. But Jesus, fully aware of that, turns it around, and he turns it into an incredibly demanding, challenging, and inspiring positive. And he said, it's not about being passive and stepping back and just not doing the wrong things. It's about being positive and stepping in and doing what is right to other people around you. And of course, that is so much more challenging, isn't it? And so much more demanding. He's saying it's not about withdrawing, you know, into a world of your own and just not offending anybody and being blandly nice to people. It is about engaging people where the rubber hits the road and actually being positively engaging our world for good. So if you want a title for this message this morning, it is this: how to transform our communities for good. For good in the sense of in terms of morally good, but for good in the sense for permanently good. And that's what Jesus is saying here. This is what we are to do. And notice that he doesn't say we are to do this or we are to do to others what we would like them to do to us in order that they will do it to us. Doesn't say that. Let me say that again. So he's not saying that do unto others what you want them to do to you in order that they will do it to you. He's saying do it unto others because that is the right thing to do. Think like that. So he knows that generally we love ourselves. We're self-protecting, self-centered people. And so he's saying in the way that you love yourself, think like that and love others in the same way. But he's not saying that you will receive the same love back. He's saying do it because that's the way the kingdom operates. That's the way the kingdom of righteousness will be felt in the earth. That's the way people will be transformed. And that's the way my kingdom will be spread. But it's the most challenging thing, isn't it? How do we do that? How do we live out this golden rule? Because it's a doing thing. It's a behavioral thing. How do we work it out every day of our lives? And the good news is he gives us the answer to that, or some practical helps in the preceding four verses. And so I'm going to read these to you, verses 7 to 11. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. But what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he'll give him a serpent or a snake? If you, then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Just turn to the person next to you and say, how much more? How much more? How much more will your Father in heaven, who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him. Therefore, when you see a therefore, you ask what it's there for. Therefore, in the light of this, because of this, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the fulfillment, or this is the sum up of the law and the prophets. So what he said previously about asking, seeking, knocking is key to then going out and living out that golden rule. How do we live out the golden rule? How do we transform communities for good? Jesus gives us, I'm going to give you three things out of this passage that I see. There's probably a whole lot more, but three particular things. Because what we've got here, verses 7 to 11, is about being with God. It's about prayer again. It's about conversation. It's about communion. It's about living. It's about dwelling. It's about abiding. It's about loving God and being in the goodness of God, and then taking that goodness of God out and giving it out to people. So Jesus describes this asking, seeking, and knocking, or communing with God. And I want to look at three things that I believe that he's saying out of this text. Firstly, that we need to do if we're going to be doers, loving people as we'd like them to love us. The first thing is that we need to recognize our dependence on our Father. We need to ask for help. Yeah? Isn't that what children do? They ask. It's one of the most simple things you can do. It's how you learn. It's how you grow. It's how you understand anything really in life. You ask. Recognize our dependence on our Father. You see, we need to realize that it's not only the entrance into the kingdom, but progression in the kingdom. We need his grace on a daily basis. We need his help on a daily basis. We need his mercy on a daily basis in order to live lives of purity, integrity, wholehearted love and commitment, all the things that Jesus has been talking about in this sermon. We need to recognize our need of him. As we sang this morning, receive our adoration. And the first verse starts off, we bow our hearts, we lift our hands. And it talks about, I recognize that all I need is in you. Yeah. It's a daily recognition of that need. That our Father has got everything covered. But more than that, he wants to, lead us into a place where our lives are counting and making a difference. Yeah, radiating his love. Not just kind of, spluttering the light, but radiating the light. And that requires a daily drawing, doesn't it, on the grace of God. He says, this is an invitation. Ask. Seek. Knock. And keep on doing it on a daily basis. Present continuous tense. See, and notice the goodness of God here. I'm going to come back to this thing. If we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much? Come on. How much?
More.
Let's try again. How much?
More.
You see, why am I doing that? Because we're often so, we don't believe God. He's so good, friends. He's got so much more. I know it's not about volume, but we need to have something in our hearts that needs to be a cry. Says, that's what my dad's like. He's got so much more. See, that's childlike. There's a childlike faith in this. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But we need to recognize he's my Father, and I'm a dependent. He doesn't call us or want us to live our lives separate from him. Many Christians do. They know him. They have him living in their hearts. The Holy Spirit is with them. but they leave him. In very practical terms, they don't reference him at all during their day, and they miss out on the so much more. Life can become a grind rather than a grace. But when we invite him into our day, when we recognize that all I need is in him, he says, come and ask, come and seek, come and knock. See, grace is the goodness of God towards everything that we are lacking. Everything that we are lacking. That's grace. Towards our debt, towards our demerit, and it's towards our disqualification. While we were yet sinners, Christ gave everything. That's grace. But we don't forget about grace when we come into the kingdom. I'm saved by grace. Yeah, we've got to be continually being saved by grace. I know I'm saved. But the Bible does say that I need to continually walk in step with the Holy Spirit and be sanctified. Yeah? But this is not so much about me. It's about me being effective and fruitful in my relationship with Jesus and then in my impact on the lives of others, other precious people who are currently on their way to hell without Jesus, who need to hear the good news of Jesus and be on the receiving end of the goodness of God. Like I have been on the receiving end of the goodness of God. Mercy is the goodness of God confronting human suffering and guilt. You see, both mercy and grace come from an understanding of the goodness of God. God is good. How much more? If we, being sinful and evil, give good gifts to our children, and we do, how much more will he give to those who ask him? The psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in him. And David says, if we haven't got the scriptures coming up this morning, but Psalm 63, verses 3 to 5. If you want to flick there in your Bibles, this is what it says. I love this. See, David recognized his daily need of God. And you know why that became more acute to him with time? Not because of his circumstances, although they were tough at times, but even when he was sitting on the throne, the journey of David with his God became deeper with time, because he recognized this: everything that I am and everything that I have is as a result of the goodness of God. He says, because your loving kindness, your goodness, is better than life itself. I love that. Better than life. Man. Do I see it like that this morning? Do you see it like this, someone? That actually the goodness of God is better than anything that life has to offer. It's a wonderful thing. Because your kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. You see, the goodness of God was his starting point, not the badness of his circumstances, not the badness of things that had happened to him. He was able to come to a place again. We said, because your loving kindness is better than what life has thrown me, good and bad, I will praise you. My lips, are you ready? Lips, okay. Soul, are you ready? We're going to do some praising right now because God's good. I've experienced it. I've tasted it. I've seen it. I know it. And hands, are you ready? Because he goes on to say, I will lift up my hands. You see, what happens in the spirit of a man or a woman has to affect every facet of their lives. Those of us who struggle to be maybe a bit more demonstrative, we're going to have some challenges in heaven. Come on now. You see, we preach truth. We don't preach opinion or perspectives or emotion. And the truth of God's word says, when you see Jesus, there's nothing better than life than him. And he's worth giving everything. It's not just for the young guys, you know, to hop around and, you know. No, no, no. I want to be hopping around on my last breath. At least on the inside. Yeah. I will lift up my hands. Oh, I'm not feeling great. No, I will lift up my hands. Because, you know, when you've got a gun pointing at your head, that's the normal response. Well, it used to be. You know, kind of, it says, look, I'm not going to go for anything to defend myself. What is David saying? Whatever my circumstances, good or bad, I've tasted and seen and experienced that the Lord is good. I will praise him, and I'm going to lift up my hands and say, Jesus, today, afresh, I surrender my life to you. God can do a lot in that moment that are totally independent of your circumstances. Nothing changes in your circumstances, but you go out stronger than when you went in. I saw a brilliant Twitter thing the other day. Two photographs. Six kittens coming in and six lions going out. And the text was, guess who? Keir Taylor. How you go into the prayer meeting, how you go out of the prayer meeting. You know, those of you who know his testimony, God saved him when his vehicle was blown apart at war and he ended up, you know, he should have died and he didn't. That's how he came to Christ. It was one of those Damascus Road experiences 30 years ago, how many years ago it was. But you see, friends, something must happen when we come into the presence of God. And something will happen, but we have to choose and realize that actually, I need him. I need him in my business. I need him in my family. I need him in my marriage. I need him in my life. And I haven't even finished this text yet. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. I'm going to offer my life afresh. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And those of you who've heard me preach on this text before, it's like, this is full cream Christianity. It's not skimmed, semi-skimmed, you know, whole milk. This is full organic whole milk. You know, this is like Jersey full whole milk with the gold top. Not red, green, or blue. And they sell it at Waitrose. But it's full cream. That's what I'm after. I'm not going to settle for anything less. He says, that's what I'm in. And that's what I'm wanting more of. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. Oh, I love it. Just see, joy is independent of our circumstances. Mm-hmm. Happiness depends on what happens to us. But joy is a deeper thing. It flows from within as we realize that actually it comes from God, from the Holy Spirit. Joy is a fruit. It's the second on the list. That should give you an idea of how important it is. Love, joy. Boom. So here's the question. Do I recognize you're my daily need of his grace? It's a big question, friends. And am I living like that, or am I living independently and just crying out for help when I need it? That's survivor mentality. That's kind of eking out an existence, actually, really. It's not Christianity full cream in John 10:10, life and abundance that Jesus actually died for. What a sad thing it would be one day when we get to heaven and discover that we actually only lived on 0.1% of everything that God had available for us. And actually, we only influenced 0.1% of all the people that we could have influenced because of that. Because that's what's at stake here. That's the result of doing unto others as we would want them to do unto us. Begins here. Recognizing our dependence on him. And of course, Jesus is coming back to this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What he started off the sermon with. Those who recognize their need of him. It's the way into the kingdom. It's the way on in the kingdom. It's the way to release power in the kingdom. It's a humble dependence on God. Secondly, pursue God with persistence. Jesus says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Yeah. Keep on keeping on. Pursue God with persistence. If you recognize your need of him and realize he is the source of all your satisfaction, you will want to keep on coming back to him again and again and again. See how they follow on? But there's got to be an intent on that. I'm going to pursue it. I'm not going to allow the busyness of life to take center stage. I'm not. It's a challenge. Now let me say this to you. There are seasons in life that are busy. But don't let the season become the pattern. Hello? When you let the season become the pattern, you're living on 0.1% very quickly. That's me, I know. You have to establish a pattern in life. There are seasons, but even within the season, you keep the focus on the King. And everything, your wife, your children, your family, your marriage, your business, your university work, your school work, is orientated in proportion. So what are we to ask for? What are we to seek for? What are we to knock for? Jesus is talking about here having a burning passion for the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. That's what he's talking about. He's not saying, Lord, I need this now, that now, this for tomorrow. Now, he wants to hear that from you because he's interested. Okay? Because he's much more. He's a father who loves us much more than we love our kids. Yeah? But what he's saying, the focus of what he's saying is ask of me. I'll give you the nations as your inheritance. Ask of me great and mighty things that you do not yet know. And I'll reveal them to you. Ask me for more wisdom. Friends, that is so much more important than things. It really is. When you get to heaven one day, you're not going to wish you asked for more things. You're going to wish you asked for more wisdom and revelation, because out of that, you impact a life in a moment. Speaking to myself this morning. But there's an urgency in the heart of God. Seek first the kingdom. Ask. Seek, knock. Have a burning passion and desire for him, his kingdom, his righteousness, his holiness, his wisdom. Do I have it? Or am I totally absorbed in my own little world of my daily routine? God wants to provide and minister and speak into our daily routine, but he wants to manifest his presence and his light and his life through every part of your life, every day, to every person you meet, actually. There's a potential for that. You say, well, that's a bit excessive. I know it's a bit excessive, but the potential's there. Now, Jesus didn't actually minister to every single person that he passed by on the road. But he was open to the Holy Spirit to minister to the crowd or the individual in a moment. And he's looking for a people to tune in like that. And may I say to you this morning that this invitation is open to every believer, however old or young you are. It's not for the special few. It's a universal invitation. He says, to everyone who asks, he'll receive. To everyone who seeks, he'll find. And to him who knocks, it will be open. It's universal to his kids. But are we pressing in and saying, yeah, I'm going to take hold of that? Because I want to actually see the kingdom expand and grow. Now, Luke's version of this little passage is in Luke 11. And in Matthew, he says, how much more will the Father give good gifts? Luke says, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Isn't that interesting? You say, oh, there's contradictions in the Bible. No, not at all. The Holy Spirit is the most precious gift the Father will give. And there's no limit. So, oh, I was born again and I received the Holy Spirit. That's wonderful. Yeah, he's in you. There's no limit. You're now part of a family called God and Sons Unlimited. You have that. You have the greatest search engine in the world within you. It's called the Holy Spirit. Have a look at 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 to 11. It talks about, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him? Is it expressed in your asking, your seeking, and your knocking? Your passionate pursuit. You see, as we press in, it says, and then it goes on to say, but now he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. It says the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. You see, we have a person in our lives. He is God. He is holy. He is Spirit. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. And he's in you. Work that one out. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the Holy Spirit. So for me, here we're coming to the heart of this passage. What Jesus is saying here. Am I pressing in to the greatest gift of all, the Holy Spirit? How much more will our Father in heaven give good things, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, on a practical level, how much am I involving God, the Father, and God, the Holy Spirit, in my daily life? When I wake up in the morning, is it good Lord, it's morning, or is it good morning, Lord? Is it good morning, Holy Spirit? Is there an awareness of his presence? We sing this song quite regularly at the moment. Let us become more aware of your presence. That's not just to sing on a Sunday, it's to ask on a Monday. Yeah, as you step out the door, you are now entering your mission field. And you've got the greatest coach, missionary, alongside you, God himself, the Holy Spirit. I love the word that Val had this morning about, yeah, she just stepped out in that prompting, the Holy Spirit. She stepped out. She stepped out. People responded. God moved. That's the way the kingdom is released. You step out. I want to encourage Val, do it tomorrow. Yeah. Trust God for something tomorrow. Same for you, Lorraine, Lorna, Danny, Gabriel. I've seen people as they raise their heads. Yeah, it's for every one of us. Yeah, trust God. You're not excluded. You're included. You're a daughter and son of the King. Step in. See, when we learn to partner, walk in step with the Holy Spirit every day, it's exciting. It's like mission day every day. But when we neglect him, we just ignore him. It's we're on our own mission every day. How boring is that? Yeah, mission very good. Then it's mission impossible rather than mission impossible. But sometimes you feel uncomfortable, but it's a relationship. Talk to him. Most importantly, begin to listen to him. You say, oh, asking. Where does that come in? Asking, seeking, knocking. Seeking. We ask. But if you ask a question, you need to hear the reply. Yeah? I'm being very basic. But Jesus is saying this is about communion with God. To be able to love others the way you want them to love them, you need to go out and have heard from God and receive something from God and be aware of what God wants to do in you, with you, through you that day. It's life. This is the Jesus-centered lifestyle. It's a wonderful title for this series, wasn't it? It's just all the way through. It's like that stuff that they used to put on rock all the way through. Lettering all the way through. And that's what the book of Acts is about. This is the book of Acts. They asked, they pursued, they knocked, and God worked through them. That was the life of Jesus. I love Acts 10:38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about, here the words are, doing good. There it is. Doing good. And healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. The most important words possibly in that verse are the last three. God was with him. See, he was anointed. The anointing came down after he was baptized. Do you think he was anointed again? Well, the Bible says, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. He stayed in it. He orientated his life as Son of God and Son of Man around the Father. And there was a constant interaction with his Father and with the Holy Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit is synonymous for walking in step with the Holy Spirit. Keep listening. Keep making Jesus Lord. Keep repenting when he highlights things in our lives. Yeah, keep adjusting when the Word shows us something that's out of place in our lives. That's walking in step with the Holy Spirit. And keep being open. Say, Lord, fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit. Jesus lived like that, and he went about doing good continually. A.W. Tozer said, you can have as much from God as you want. That's one of his classic quotes. You can have as much from God as you want. In other words, how much do you want? Now, the thing is that theologically, we have everything that we need because God is within us. That is true. That is true. But we have to exhaust or develop that gold mine within us. We have to release the life of God within us to the full. We have to hunger and thirst after God. The more we do that, the more we will release to others. Ask, seek, and knock. If Lynn's in the same room as me, I can ask her something. If she's in another room in the house, I have to go and seek her out. There's times, you know, quite regularly these days, where she pops up to a neighbour or in the block, and I don't realise she's gone out of the flat, and then I have to go looking, seeking, and knocking. You see, there's an increased intensity here. He's saying, don't just stay in one level in your relationship with God. Ask, seek, and knock. And let's be honest, there are seasons in our lives, mostly due to our own challenges, but often through some difficult blows that the life has sent our way, where sometimes just the asking, we think we're just hitting the ceiling. Where is God? In those dry periods of our life, and some of the great saints of history have had them, we have to then be like that tree that Jeremiah describes. I think it's in Jeremiah 17, when there's just like famine all around, and it's the dry season, and the sun's beating down. The roots have got to go, keep waiting until you find water. Got to keep drilling until you find water. Jesus says, ask, seek, keep drilling, keep knocking. See if I'm water. Maybe you're in that. Maybe you've been through a season like that. Maybe you're in a season like that. And Jesus says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Go after him. He may feel outside the house, but he's not in reality. He's with you. And he's your Father, and he's calling you to pursue him. For those taking notes, just have a look at Jeremiah 29:11-13. It's an outstanding scripture on this, on what I've been talking about. Seek, where he says, seek me with your whole heart, and you will find me when you seek me like that. And lastly, number three, if we're going to do good to others as we want them to do good to us and live out this golden rule, we need to recognize our dependence on our Father. We need to pursue God with persistence, and we need to pray and live with assurance. Thirdly, we need to pray and live with assurance. And that assurance is this: we need to be assured of his goodness. His goodness. That's what Jesus says. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will he get your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Keep on asking. Keep on, because he's good. Be assured of it. Faith is confidence, putting our confidence in the goodness of God. See how it all comes back to the goodness of God. Grace is the goodness of God towards our demerit and disqualification. Mercy is the goodness of God towards towards human suffering and guilt. Faith is putting our confidence in the goodness of God. And the wonderful thing is, when we see in our journey, when we're born again and we have to work things through and work some stuff through, and God works some stuff in us, and we start to see the goodness of God working out, we know he's good, we start to have a story to tell more and more of the goodness of God. Objectively, we know God is good because the Bible tells us. But now I know God is good because I've tasted something of it for myself. It's experiential. And now I know I see the goodness of God because I've seen him heal people, I've seen him touch people, I've seen him save people, I've seen him do something more in my life, my marriage. I've got a story to tell. I've got a journey to walk with. And faith is built up. Confidence is built up. And in a community like this, where we're looking forward to whatever God has for us in terms of things and stuff and people and life and salvations, what we celebrate is the fact that God is speaking to us today. We're seeing his goodness manifest. It gives us confidence and faith for the future. So does God ever answer every prayer? We really have to ask that question, because Jesus says, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened, done and dusted. Does that mean that we'll get everything that we ask for? Well, do you give your children everything that they ask for? I hope not. Yeah. Otherwise, it'll be ice cream every meal. Yeah? And, it'll be Xbox and the latest war movie and, the latest whatever, it's coming out on TV. No. God is not some cosmic heavenly grandfather that spoils his children with everything that they want. No, God's a father that gives them what he knows is best for them according to his will, number one, that's in line with the word. Number two, what is asked for in faith, they believe that God will give them it according to his will. And number three, the third element, is that they have a desire, a burning desire, that God will supply that according to his will. You see, because actually the main thrust of what Jesus is saying we should ask for, believe for, and desire for is not things. It's for the advance of the kingdom of heaven. Let me say it again. He's not wanting us not to ask for those things, because he's interested in the detail. But what we ask for, we need to ask. We need to check it out. Is it according to his will? There's conditions attached. It's not just a carte blanche. Check. 1 John 5, 14, 15 is two verses to be learnt by every Christian. It says this: now this is the confidence that we have in him. If you want to have confidence, then memorize these verses. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, and here it is, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, and the context is according to his will, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of him. What an incredible privilege. This is the good book. This is the good news. This is the best. This is the life manual. This is the way to live life, the good life. This is to experience, to know the best way, the blessings of God. And as we align ourselves, as we walk in obedience to it, and as we pray, and as we ask, and as we seek according to it, we can be confident that he hears and that we will receive what we've asked for. And we become vessels where the kingdom of heaven can come from heaven Well, the kingdom of God can come from heaven through us to earth. It's the most exciting life that we can live. Being much with God flows out, and we start doing much with God. That's what I believe this passage is about. It's all about being and doing with God. The golden rule is an incredible principle. You know, if we lived out that golden rule, do unto others what you would want them to do unto you, there'd be no war, there'd be no slavery, there'd be no bribery, there'd be no drugs, there'd be no corruption, there'd be no lying, there'd be only justice and love. But it's impossible for us to do that in our sinful condition or in our own strength, even as believers. Jesus is saying, recognize our dependence on him. Press in, persistently pursue him, and be assured of his goodness. I'm going to hand back to Roy. And I think in terms of time, because it's, I think we're pretty much done. Actually, do you want me to wrap up, Roy?
Yeah.
Let's stand together, shall we? Can I ask you this morning, what are you going to do with what you've heard today? What are you going to do with what God's spoken to you today? Rachel gave me this book this morning. And she passed it on to me. And it says, on the back of it, it says, don't get stuck at asking, what would Jesus do? Get equipped and do it. And it's amazing, when I was preparing this message, I felt the same thing. Don't ask, what would Jesus do? Ask the Holy Spirit what he wants you to do. Let's pray, shall we? I wonder if you would like, in terms of responding to this message this morning. But as I just pray, my hands are lifted up, or they're outstretched, just set in a receiving kind of posture. I wonder if you want to join me in that. And just, we have an incredible Father in heaven, friends, who is the how much more Father. But we so often limit him through our focus and priorities. Lord, we want to surrender afresh to your goodness this morning. Right now, we thank you for your amazing goodness towards us. Father, we don't want to get to heaven one day and discover that we've just lived on or practically kind of worked out only a small, minute percentage of the fullness of what you put in our lives. We want to say today afresh, I surrender all. We know those are not cheap words, Lord. We know that they're not to be said lightly. But we also realize that you are a good Father. And we don't want to be distant from you. We don't want to have a distant relationship with you. We want to press in, Lord, and know your voice. And then work that out. Thank you for that exciting journey that it is to walk with Jesus, to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we just see it throughout Scripture, and particularly in the book of Acts. We see, and we've known it in our lives as well. Lord, where that search engine, or where that connection has kind of worn a bit thin, Father, we turn afresh to you this morning. And we say, Father, we want to hear your voice. Father, we want to, dipping, walking, swimming more in the Word of God. We want our minds to be in the Word so that we know your will. And we can pray with confidence and expectation and assurance. And we can be on the lookout for those appointments that you have for us so that we can do unto others as we would like them to do unto us. And we can release the love and the goodness and the grace and the mercy of our great God to other people. Father, I thank you for the time that we are in as a church right now. I thank you for your glory just coming more and more and more. And I thank you for your glory being manifest through us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. That more and more people in Edinburgh would receive hope because of the glory through our lives. More and more people would receive mercy because of the love through our lives and the compassion. More and more people, Lord, would receive forgiveness because of the grace that is vulnerably shared through our lives. That, Lord, we would be releasing your treasure to people in a humble and life-giving way. I just pray your blessing upon each person here this morning, Lord. Every family represented. And, Lord, in every family, Lord, that's not here today, that's part of 3CI and this church community. Father, let your kingdom come, Lord. Lord, we pray that prayer so many times, but God, we don't fully understand it, but Lord, we want more, Lord. We want more of your righteousness, more of your holy presence, more of your good life in us, between us. Yeah, and I pray that, Father, that our love for one another would increase, that our love for one another would just grow, that our love for one another would just expand and go deeper as well, Lord. That you'd put each other on our hearts, Father. There would be the text, there would be the phone call, there would be the flowers, there would be the card. Lord God, thank you for a deepening of that love, Lord. That we would live out this Jesus-centered lifestyle more and more as a community in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen.